Today, we begin Holy Week with our celebration of Palm Sunday, remembering the triumphal entry of our Lord into Jerusalem about a week before his crucifixion. Our Lord's entry into Jerusalem on a donkey is a humble one, foretold by the prophet Zechariah, as Matthew reminds us, and as we heard in our first lesson today. The Lord's use of a donkey may refer to an Eastern tradition that it's an animal of peace versus the horse, the animal of war. And thus our Lord is saying that he comes in peace, indeed as the Prince of Peace. And we know how the story ends, though, with Christ's crucifixion, which we just heard. However, that's not what the disciples or the people who are spreading palm branches at his feet are expecting. They're tired of the Roman oppression. They've been expecting a military leader, and they are very excited that they may finally be able to throw off the yoke of Rome with the help of Jesus. Sure, they have been pretty confused so far. He doesn't really seem to be much of the military type with all this turn-the-other-cheek stuff. But nevertheless, even the disciples are expecting it. Peter telling the Lord there is no way he could be given up to be killed, ultimately slicing off an ear of one of the Roman centurions. James and John quibbling over who will sit at his right hand in his kingdom. They are expecting the triumphal entry in the book of 1 Maccabees, which if you've never read, it's in our Bibles, and I hope that you'll read it. It's where the feast of Hanukkah is, the story behind that comes from, and et cetera. But it tells the story also of how the Jews overcame the Greek reign and established the Hasmonean Jewish dynasty by unfortunately choosing an alliance with Rome to help. We've heard these kinds of stories before. And in chapter 13, the siege of Jerusalem by the Jews ends with the capture of the citadel in Jerusalem. And the Jews make their entry into the city, quote, with acclamations carrying palms to the sound of lyres, cymbals, and harps, chanting hymns and canticles, since a great enemy had been crushed and thrown out of Israel. Simon, the Jewish leader, made it a day of annual rejoicing, end quote. The Hasmonean dynasty, which began with Simon, ended with Rome, assented to Herod the Great's proclamation as king of the Jews after Antigonus, Herod's rival, was executed by Mark Antony. It's a fascinating story, something, though, for another day. Interestingly, according to Josephus, an important early Jewish historian, Herod the Great was actually of Maccabean royal blood, back to the group we were just talking about. But Herod and the Jewish Sanhedrin weren't so happy with Jesus. I mean, after all, he was claiming to be king of the Jews, and he was coming into town in a royal fashion. And they were constantly attempting to protect their power that Rome would love to take away from them at any moment. All Rome wanted was for things to run smoothly and calmly, and everyone would be happy. We see how worried Pilate is in the crucifixion story about a riot about to start, that he just says, okay, whatever you want. So Jesus was causing quite a stir that would lead to his death. A death called for not just by the high priest, but likely some of the very same people who were laying palm branches at his feet the week before. Crucify him, they called. Let us have Barabbas, they said. Barabbas, a revolutionary, of the very type the Jews was hoping for, and whose name means, indeed, son of the father. And you can imagine that's caused quite a stir among scholars. And in fact, it turns out that early manuscripts even say that Barabbas' name was Jesus Barabbas, such so that Origen's copy said this, and he reportedly bothered him so much that he thought it must have been added by heretics. So we have this Antichrist very clearly chosen over the Messiah, because our now tortured, beat-down Lord did not meet our human expectations. And are we sure that we would not have made the same choice at the time? Are we sure we wouldn't have made the same choice now? Our Eastern brothers and sisters, in addition to co-celebrating Christ's Palm Sunday with us, celebrated another triumphal event yesterday, Lazarus Sunday, celebrating the raising of Lazarus and prefiguring our Lord's own resurrection. It is the only day of the year that the Sunday hymns in the liturgy are used on another day. We know how the story really ends, not with Christ's crucifixion and death, but with Christ's resurrection, triumphing over Hades, death, and the grave. And we're blessed by this knowledge now, something even the angels didn't know. As St. Peter says, these things which now have been announced to you through those who preach the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, these things into which angels long to look. These things that all the princes of the world did not know. For had they known it, they would have not crucified the Lord of glory, as St. Paul says. So what I ask you to do this week is to forget everything you know. Forget the crucifixion. Forget the resurrection. Just for a few moments. And put yourselves back into the shoes of the apostles who knew none of this. Yes, become one of Jesus' closest friends and followers this week. And realize that you, like me, are probably expecting Jesus just to come into our lives and make everything better in an earthly way. In a way according to our expectations, not his. Maybe we want Jesus to stop letting terrible people do bad things like crash planes into mountains and massacre university students. Maybe we want more people to walk in that door so our little church will grow. Maybe we're having trouble at home or at work and we just want Jesus to make it better. Maybe we just want Jesus to help our basketball team win. And if we do, we aren't much different than the disciples, so don't feel too bad about yourself. And so here you are, just like them, excited about everything Jesus is about to do, or at least everything you think he's about to do. So join us on our walk this week as we spend the first few days in evening prayer preparing for the Passover, followed by a Wednesday healing service. And then on Thursday, our Master washes our feet and we share a Passover meal with the Lord, never expecting it to be our last with him. When things take an unsuspected turn, our Lord is betrayed by one of his own. Could it be you? And he's taken away, only to be killed the following day. Will you deny him 3 times at the charcoal fire? He's buried, and you are cowered in the upper room, afraid the Roman authorities are coming for you next. When the women come to tell you unbelievable news, news you won't believe until you see it with your own eyes or put your hands into the wounds. Rewind now, forget everything you know, and see yourself as one of the disciples just after his triumphal entry. And come participate with us this week in the remembrance of these events in the last week of Jesus' life, a remembrance like the Eucharist, a real, present reliving of those events. And you will ride the roller coaster that the disciples did. And be brought from where you are now to a place where you see Jesus for who he really is, the God-man, and where you see what he really wants to do for us, save us from the curse of sin and death, and restore us and all his creation to its created glory. And on what terms? Which turn out to be his and not ours. Co-suffering and self-emptying sacrifice, the path of the cross, that even today are needed to open the kingdom of heaven and bring us to the very place James and John fought over, the right hand of God. But forget you know how it ends, because if you don't, you'll only think you know. Instead, come and see, and you'll never forget. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen.